Well, good evening, guys. We'll let everyone come on in and grab a seat. We'll let you guys grab a seat. We'll get started with some announcements and prayer. Announcements, then we'll open for prayer concerns, then we'll pray together, and then jump into the Word, all right? So a couple announcements. Don't forget, Dinner for Six is coming up March 21st, 6 p.m. Definitely want to encourage you to sign up for that, whether you want to host or be a guest. Inserts are in the bulletin this morning. All the information is at the Welcome Center. It's a great way to get to know people in the church, and it's an easy thing to do. And again, you can just be a guest, and you can go over someone's home. Usually the week of, we'll notify all the hosts of who's going to their house. And I love that part because I get a list of all the names, and I just get to like kind of play mad scientist and just start mixing people together. So much fun. And so, and then the hosts will call all the guests that are coming to their home. And then you guys decide what you want to eat, who's bringing what. It's kind of very much a free-for-all that way. There's no set, rigid rule to this. Some people have just literally ordered pizza and played games the whole time. Some people go more fancy, and it's like, you know, three-course meals and desserts and the whole nine. So it's really up to your group what you guys want to do. But it's just a great way to get to know each other. Again, the sign-up sheet will be pulled about a week before the event, and then we'll contact all the hosts, and then the hosts contact the guests, all right? So again, sign up at the Welcome Center. We definitely encourage you to do that. Also, just a reminder, our student ministry has their teen game day coming up on March 14th. That's 10 to 4 right here at the church, 7th through 12th grade. And this is a free event, just a chance to get all the students together. And it's a great time for them. Also, we have our ladies event coming up, Coffee and Canvas. This is going to be the 21st from 11 to 1. And this is just an opportunity to get together and do a painting project together for the ladies. Cost is $25. And if you're like, well, I'm not a painter, I'm not very good at painting, that's fine. Just come for fellowship. Just come to be encouraged by the Word and to encourage, and light snacks included as well. Communion coming up this Sunday, so don't forget about that. Want to encourage you to be here for that. Snack night, Pastor Greg mentioned this, was moved from tonight, to next Sunday night because we moved the business meeting. So if you have students, 7th through 12th grade, they're welcome to come to that. Again, it's $3 and bring your own drink. And then also Forever Young, which is our 50-plus ministry, having their potluck on March 1st. Men's Prayer Breakfast is also going to be March 7th. So you don't want to miss out on that, guys. And then also don't forget the donations for the food table. All of the food that we have donated in goes to St. Paul's Lutheran Church right here in Emily City. They have an amazing pantry and soup kitchen. They do a great job. And so years ago, somebody said, hey, we should do something like, you know, like a food pantry. And so we talked about it and we asked some people if they wanted to lead it. And we really didn't have anyone that wanted to lead that ministry. And so when we heard St. Paul's was doing a great job, they have all the facilities, the infrastructure, they do amazing with that. We decided years ago, instead of trying to kind of compete with that, let's just be a blessing to that. Let's just come alongside them and help a church in our community that's really making a difference for Christ. And so we started doing that years ago. Table's filling up really, really well, but I know we can fit more on that table. Sometimes what I do during the week is I go out there and I like rearrange it, condense it down and make more room. So like right now it looks like, oh, it's so full. By Wednesday, it'll look like half because I'm just like sneaky like that. So plenty of room on that table to make more food appear. So bring in some canned food, non-perishable food items. You don't want to miss out on that. It's a great way to be a blessing to the community. All right. So that's all the announcements I have. Obviously, following our service tonight, we do have our annual business meeting, which again was postponed. Just for those that are here with us, following our service tonight, when we get into the meeting, anyone is welcome to be a part of the meeting. Obviously, members of North Cleveland Baptist Church are able to vote and to comment and ask questions and those kind of things. So if you are not a member, you're welcome to stay, but it would be more in kind of an observational type role, just kind of watching how we do church. And you're welcome to do that. You're invited to do that. But just so you know, voting and those kind of things is reserved for our members. If you're curious about what it means to be a member of North Cleveland Baptist Church, here in a little while, it'll be in the bulletin soon. We are going to offer another membership class. So we try to offer those in the spring and the fall. So we'll have that available as well. If you would like to know more about what we believe, what does it mean to be a member of the church and all those things, that's a great way to do that. All right. Unless there's any questions or comments about upcoming events or activities, we'll open up for a prayer request. All right. Does anyone have a prayer request or a praise they'd like to share this evening before we pray? A prayer request or a praise? Yeah, Avi.
I hopefully, Lord willing, will be closing on a house hopefully this week. But, you know, it's very much up and down. I'm not really sure why. It wasn't like this the last time we bought a house. So, and it doesn't seem like it would be a hard house to buy, but there's things.
Okay.
So just that God will keep me in the ark, because I hear when we get there and out of our window, are we there yet? And then I keep getting salt water in my face. He's like, we'll get there when we get there. So anyway, but so just that I just am patient in the process.
Sure.
I try to usurp whatever yep. he's trying to do. But then also still be doing, you know, like that he would give me wisdom, like if there are things I need to do that I would do them, because I'm just like, I'm always overthinking everything. So
okay.
just, you know, and then if it's not his will, then obviously.
Yeah.
That they would just shut this door. Then,
sure. Yep. Yeah, let's be praying for Avi as she is in the process of buying a home. Seems like it's an up and down process and lots of things kind of here and there. So praying for a couple things, discernment and wisdom. If this is the Lord's will, that he will work it out and make it clear. If it is not his will, that he will shut that door and open whatever door needs to be open for another option. So we're praying for that, praying for patience and endurance. I love the illustration that you're in the ark and you keep sticking your head out your window asking, are we there yet? And he's like, just go back inside. I'll tell you when we get there. I love that. But yeah, be praying for Avi, for wisdom, discernment, patience, and the Lord's will to be done for his glory. Absolutely. Amen. Anyone else? A prayer request for us. Yeah, Julie.
If we've been praying for Randy's cousin, Dorothy. Mm-hmm. She has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and then she fell and broke her hip and all that. Well, the end of last week, so just a few days ago, we found out that she was able to go back and start chemo. She had 2 more sessions. She had such a severe reaction to it. They said, your body can't handle chemo anymore.
Okay.
And so she is just so, she's moved in with her sister for a while because she lives with her daughter. They share a home they have for years. But there's conflict in the family.
Okay.
And it's just.
A mess.
Becoming, yeah.
Okay.
Very much a mess. So if you could pray for Dorothy and her family.
Okay, let's be praying for Dorothy and her family as she battles cancer, tried to do chemo again, and seems like her body's not really receiving that, so they're thinking that's not going to be an option for her. So be praying for healing and comfort for her, first of all, and then second of all, pray for the family, as there's in her family and Dorothy's family, there's some conflict and some things going on, so I'm going to be praying for wisdom there, for peace and calmness, and the Lord will just work in that they can come together to help her, which is really the most important thing. So let's be praying for that too for Dorothy as well. Anyone else? Yeah. Well, Lynn or Terry, you guys can arm wrestle and figure out.
Our sister Ann.
Yeah.
My sister Ann. We appreciate your prayers. That the Lord would draw near and that they would know in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be praying for Ann as she is battling cancer, and be praying for the Lord to work there and draw that family near. And know that he is present and he is working. Amen.
And strength.
Okay. And strength. Okay. Okay. Tuesday. Okay. Be praying for Anna. She starts chemo again on Tuesday for strength. Absolutely. Yeah. Claudette. Okay. 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 Amen. Sure. Yeah. Be praying for Jeff and Claudette's son-in-law's father, Larry, as they just put him in hospice. And so praying for that whole situation, for the family, and for comfort for the grandkids and all those good things that we want to pray the Lord will work in all that. Praise the Lord. He knows the Lord. Praise the Lord that the family is Christian. So there's a greater hope there than just what they're seeing. But it's still difficult and it's still tough. So I want to be praying for the Lord's calmness through that and patience through that as well. Anyone else? Yeah, Kelly. Amen. I'm sorry, what? Oh, amen. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, Matt and Carrie had a little boy. Awesome. I know last time I saw her, I was like, how close are you? And she's like, I'm overdone. I'm ready to be done. So, yeah, praise the Lord, man. Praise the Lord. Little baby boy. What's the dimensions? I don't know how else to say that. Okay. Walter Stephen. I love it. Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I asked for the dimensions because every woman in the room wanted to know. None of the men did. All the men were like, baby, cool. Like, it doesn't matter. But yeah, just to, for all the ladies that were like going to ask you afterwards. So awesome. Praise the Lord. Be praying for Matt and Carrie as they continue to adapt and raise up this little one in the Lord. Pray for Matt as he broke his collarbone, right? So I'll be praying for him as well. That was a couple weeks back. So praying for him and healing there. He's tough though. I'm sure he's probably already back at work. Maybe. Is he back at work yet? After the, no, okay. I figured Matt was like the next day. He's like, I'm good. Let's go to work. Let's go. No, praise the Lord for that. So I'll be praying for Matt as he continues to heal and all of that. Anyone else? Yeah, Terry.
I have two prayer requests, or praises. My aunt Donna, you guys have been praying for. She had some heart
Amen. So praise the Lord for Donna and Lori, for healing there, for comfort that the Lord worked in all of that. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. A couple of praises. Britt?
Praise the funeral for dear mom went well.
Yes.
And there was not family discord happening.
There
was just quiet and peace.
Good. Amen. Yeah. Dale's aunt had a funeral here, was that two Saturdays ago? No. Last Saturday. Yeah, a week from yesterday, right? A week ago from yesterday. Praise, because we were praying that everything would be calm, that there'd be no situations in the family. And so praise the Lord for that. And that the Lord was able to plant some seeds. And how did the reading go well? Yeah, amen. Dale had a chance to read some scripture. So praise the Lord for the seeds planted there. Thessalonians. Yeah, and that was written to the Thessalonians who live in, I'll get it later. It's fine. I was just messing with you. We were Thessalonica, that's right. Oh, Dale, you're killing it. Here, you want to just come on up and take care of this for me real quick? I like it. Thessalonica, yeah, I like it. All right, anyone else? A prayer request or praise before you pray. Yeah, Terry, and then we'll come back to Dave.
Praise for the brothers and sisters in this church.
Amen.
It means so much to Lynn and I mean, it's everything to us. Mm.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for the brothers and sisters in the church that come alongside us and pray with us and for us and walk with us. Praise the Lord. Amen. For the body of Christ. And I'm 98, and as long as I've been here, it's been that kind of church. We've had some bumps in the road along the way, but overall, it's been amazing to see the Lord bring that spirit about in our church. Amen. Amen. I got to go to Dave. Sorry, he was next. I'll come back up to Avi. Go ahead, David. Sure.
Nothing too exciting. So.
Okay.
So all in all, everyone had fun and
safe
and
yeah. Made it all the way up there. Amen. Yeah. Dave and Kelsey lead the ski club over at Emily City Schools and had a ski trip this weekend, and everybody, all the students came home all right. A couple parents, maybe some bumps and bruises on whatnot. Not David and Kelsey. Kelsey's like, because I was in the lodge. Like, I don't even know. Like, I didn't injure myself sipping that hot chocolate, tell you what. But no, praise the Lord, they got there safely and everyone got home safely and all that stuff. And yeah, keep praying for them as they continue to have their season. The kids will just be safe and all of that, for sure. Amen. Avi.
I was just going to piggyback on to Terry's praise, just because, like, when you look at the New Testament and all of the one another exhortations, you can really see that here. And that is not like, oh, we're so awesome. It is the Holy Spirit working on
us. Yeah, amen.
Which is really a beautiful and powerful thing.
Yeah.
And it's very precious. And I think it is something to not take for granted and to guard.
Yeah.
And to guard. And so, like, when those little come up, like, check yourself, because, like, you'd be working against Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and that's even my own thing, right? Because I told you my thing with, remember back then?
Yeah.
And then the Lord was like, it's not your church, eh?
Amen. Place, right? Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, but it is. It's because I don't want to be that person, you know, causing strife and everything. So, but it is something special here.
Yeah.
Because we pray for one another. We love one another. We bear one another's burdens. We, you know, sharpen iron and all of these things. And it's just, it really is.
Amen. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, all the one and others in Scripture that we need to strive to fulfill. Grace when we fall short, but we endeavor to keep guarding the bond of unity in the Spirit, right? And so praise the Lord for that, that we have a church that's focused on that and focused more on one another than what I want, right? And that's a great, great thing to see for sure. It's not as common as maybe we might think, but we're so blessed to be a part of a church like that. Absolutely. All right, Jeff, and then Mary. Okay, so we'll go Jeff and Mary. Oh, sure, yeah. 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 Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll take it a step farther. I had somebody share a couple months ago now. They were praising the Lord that on even the non-business meeting Sunday night, just driving in and seeing the parking, and every church they passed, no one was at the church on a Sunday night, which is fine. Not every church does that. But they just were so thankful that we have an opportunity for people to come and worship even on Sunday night. So, yeah, huge praise. Mary. Okay. 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 Do you know what school? Okay. 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 So pray for Gavin, who's a senior in high school, cancer, battling cancer, and goes Monday for a scan to find. Oh, okay. The results. Okay. So the results are Monday to find out what the scan showed, and then treatment and everything from there. Okay. Be praying for Gavin for healing, of course, and for his family as well. All right. Well, let's go ahead and bow in prayer, and we'll spend some time before the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the Word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that was shared so far. We thank you, Lord, for this church that, Lord, it's not a perfect church by any stretch, but we pray that it's a church that is striving to set our eyes and our desires upon you. And again, Lord, we are called to as a church to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so I pray that we would continue to be a church that is built upon the Word, built upon prayer, built upon the truth that Christ is the Son of God. You are the Son of David. You are the Savior. You are Lord. And so, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a part of a church like that. And Lord, again, thank you for what you're doing in your church, but not even just through North Goodland, just through the body of Christ in our community and in our state. Lord, so many churches in our community where a preacher gets up week in and week out and preaches the Word, declares the Word, and stands on the truth of your Word. So thank you, Lord, for our local churches and pastors who work so diligently to see the gospel preached. And Lord, I pray that you would, as we've been praying off and on this year so far, and we've prayed before as well, that you would send revival to this community. And Lord, we know that if you send revival, it's not confined within a church, but it's in the church. And so we pray that that would happen, that we would anticipate and desire revival, not just revival of others, but our own personal revival, where our hearts are engaged with the things of the Word, the things of the Lord, and that through that, that would spill out into the lives of our family, our community, and our church. Father, we thank you for these prayer concerns. We pray, Lord, for Gavin, a high school senior, Lord. I can't imagine what his parents and his family are going through. Lord, having my son graduate just this last year, to think about him having to go through that at that age would be so difficult. So I just pray you'd be with Gavin, bring healing and comfort to him and his family. Lord, be with the results. I pray that they are the best possible results that he can get. And Lord, I pray that you just eradicate the cancer in him altogether, that you would just heal him completely. Lord, but if your will is something different, then we pray you'd give the doctors wisdom and treatment and all those things. Father, we thank you for the praise, love each other and to serve each other. Lord, I'm praying together to worship you, to be in your Word. Lord, yes, also for the business meeting to follow. But Lord, I pray it's just about you tonight. I pray that you are just the focal point of all that we say and do. Lord, that you would be glorified. Lord, we think of Anne as she is just continuing to battle this cancer, Lord, and with treatments. We just pray for healing and comfort there. But Lord, pray that you give her strength, give her endurance. May you draw that family close, that they know that you are with them, that you have not forsaken them. But Lord, your will is being done. Father, for Dorothy, Lord, we know that the doctors are saying the chemo is not effective, it's not working, but we know again that you're the great physician. So if your will is to heal her, we pray that you would do so. But Lord, even if it's a different outcome than what we desire, we pray that your will would be done, that you would be glorified. And Lord, we pray for calmness in the family. Just bring an ease there, that the tensions would dissipate and that there would be a calmness and an understanding of coming together for her. Lord, we thank you for the praise of Dale's aunt's funeral going well. We thank you that the families were able to put aside their differences for that afternoon and just to focus on her, on the aunt that passed away, and to desire to just honor that life that was lived. And thank you for giving Dale the words to say. And we pray that as scripture was preached and taught, that you planted seeds and that somebody either that day or will soon come to the gospel as a result of that great work. Father, we ask that you would be with all the health concerns that have been mentioned. There are many that are sick or going through different things. Lord, we pray that you'd work in each one and bring healing there. We thank you, Lord, for Matt and Carrie's new baby. We thank you for that healthy delivery. We pray that you would bless them, strengthen them as a family. Be with Matt and his collarbone. Lord, we know that it's probably difficult to work around, but we just pray that you bring healing and comfort there, alleviate any pain that he's feeling, and just work in that situation. Father, we pray for Avi, that you would just be with her as she's going through this whole process of this house buying experience, and we pray for discernment, wisdom, open doors where the doors need to be open. Lord, give wisdom. But Father, if your will is something different, we pray that you'd make that clear to her. And thank you, Lord, that she, her desire is ultimately to get this home and to begin moving through that process. But yet, Lord, she's also willing to say, if you need me to do something else, Lord, I will. And so thank you for her genuineness and her faith to desire to please you. And I pray that you would bless that and give her wisdom and guidance, Lord, as she's seeking after you. And Father, we pray that you would be with our time together tonight, Lord, as we spend time in your word. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for all that we were able to be a part of. And thank you, Lord, for what was shared about the heritage of North Goodland and just the many that we have seen come through these doors that have made such impacts for Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would never forget the heritage of what you've done and the giants, Lord, that went before. And Lord, maybe it was seemingly a small impact, but it was for you. And I believe you use it in a mighty way. Lord, we give you all the praise for all of this. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we are in Matthew chapter 12. And just in case anyone's wondering, I am going to try to end a little early. So you don't have to laugh. Like, I don't know why that wasn't a joke. It was just, yeah, right. We'll see about that. But I can't make any promises because I'm really loving studying through this chapter. It's been amazing to see all that God has for us in this chapter. So if you are new with us tonight, you haven't been with us so far in this Matthew 12 study, I do have extra handouts. If you've been here the last couple of weeks since the beginning of February, you already have the handout. It just Matthew 12 is at the top. So if you've not been with us, I have a few extra. So if you are with a spouse or something, we might have you share. But is there anyone that needs a handout, has not gotten one yet? Raise your hand. Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Guys, can't be sheepish. I'm going to walk back up front. I'll try to get it away, yeah. Can you pass that down there? Thank you. Can you pass that down there, please? Thank you. Megan. I'm going to go this way. Anyone else before I circle around? Okay, over here, yeah. I know, yeah. Anyone else? There you go. There you go, guys. No, I think we're good. Anyone else? I got one left. Okay, there you go. All right. So Matthew chapter 12. And what we've been doing on Sunday nights, if you're new with us, and even on Sunday nights, is a lot of times what we'll do is we'll just take a book of the Bible and we'll just start working through that book, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Sometimes we get through a whole chapter in one night. That's not common. And sometimes we'll go through just a few verses, which is much more likely. So we started going through Matthew chapter 12 back the beginning of the month. I'm not really going to spend too much time in review. The handout kind of goes through a lot of what we covered so far. But just know that we're talking about the opposition to Jesus's ministry. That's kind of the emphasis of Matthew chapter 12, the opposition to Jesus's ministry. Primarily, and if you've been with us, what is the primary thing that Jesus has started? What does Matthew begin emphasizing in chapter 12 that's really causing some contention there? Okay, specifically, when is he healing them?
There you
go. Yep. It's the doing the works of God, the miracles on the Sabbath day. Remember we said earlier in Matthew chapter 9, I believe it was, we talked about that he had dinner with Matthew and these tax collectors and these sinners. They didn't like that. They accused them of blasphemy already in Matthew. They didn't like that. But the minute he started working on the Sabbath day and actually doing miraculous works on the Sabbath, now there's wording like, we need to get together and figure out how to get rid of this guy. Like, we really need to get him off the scene. So now the tensions are rising to a whole nother level. Because that tension is rising and because the Jews are kind of plotting against him, he begins to withdraw himself from the crowds. And really from chapter 12 through really the rest of Matthew, we see him having these kind of breaks away from the crowd. And he's breaking away and he's going more north, maybe into Capernaum or different areas. And while there, he's training his disciples. He's training them up and he's preparing them for his departure through the cross and ascension. And so here we see Matthew chapter 12 is all about this idea of this tension between Jesus and the religious leaders, right? He's going against their traditions. He's been accused. His disciples have been accused of breaking the law. Did Jesus ever break the law of God?
No.
Never once. He did, however, violate the traditions of men, which by the time Jesus comes on the scene, a lot of those traditions have been made equal to the law of God. Jesus makes it clear. He is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he is Lord of creation. He can do whatever he wants whenever he wants to do it, and he's never going to violate the law of God. But he's okay violating the traditions of men because he is not bound by those things. And so here in Matthew chapter 12, we're going to pick up in verses 22 and 23. So we've covered a lot. So we're at letter C in your notes. Letter C in your notes there, your handout. Again, also just real quick, if you've missed any of the first 11 chapters and an introduction that we did, I have all the handouts up here, paper copies, and they're all kind of clipped together by chapter. So after everything tonight, maybe before you leave, if you want one of those, you need a couple of those, you'd like a copy of every one of those, you can grab those tonight. Or if you want a digital copy, just reach out to me and I can send that to you as well if that'd be easier to have it on a device versus print. So letter C in your notes, the hardness of heart among the Pharisees. So there's a lot of things that have gone on before this, but we see this hardness of heart of the Pharisees. So go down to verse 22 through verse 23. If I can get a volunteer that would like to read that for us this evening. Love to get you guys involved on Wednesdays and Sunday nights. Lynn, awesome, thank you.
Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David?
Awesome. Thank you, ma'am. So here we have Jesus heals a demon-possessed man who could not see or speak. So he heals this demon-possessed man. And again, what's the result of the crowd? Those that see it, what do they profess about Jesus? He is what? The son of David. What is David, or what is Matthew's whole emphasis in his gospel? First, he's writing to primarily a Jewish audience, so he's wanting the Jewish people to understand something very important about Jesus, and that important fact is he is the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah, and one of the ways that Matthew connects those two is he specifically uses the term son of David. We're connecting all the way back to King David, and so they are acknowledging, really, when they say, is not this the son of David, they're really saying, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ. Again, because of Isaiah's prophecies, many Israelites likely associated the time of the Messiah's coming with the healing of the blind, the deaf, the lame, and the mute. Isaiah 30, ministries of Christ. When the Messiah comes, he will heal of these specific diseases. Now, God healed, right, throughout that timeline, but there's specific healings that only the Messiah can perform and begins to perform in the Gospels. And things like healing the blind. Not only that, healing somebody that was deformed from birth. These kind of things that the Jewish people thought, nah, you're kind of an outcast. If you were born with a deformity, that means either you sinned in some way or your parents sinned in some way, was the Jewish understanding of that. Jesus dismantles that entire argument by healing many people who were deformed from birth and reminds them that it's not his sin or their parents' sin, it's so that God's glory will be revealed. Which again, I've always thought is an amazing thing when he says about the blind man. He wasn't sinful. Now, is he a sinner? Of course he's a sinner. What he means is he's not blind because of his sin. He's not blind because of his parents' sin. I'm sure his parents sinned. He's saying, no, this man was born blind solely because I was going to be on planet Earth at this specific moment to heal him of his blindness, which is an awesome thing unless you're the man that was born blind. I don't know if that's a comfort. Wait a minute. So you mean to tell me my whole life I've been blind just so you could heal me? But when we see these things, we're reminded of God's compassion, God's glorious power to heal and to do these great miracles. And so he's doing all of this to fulfill these prophecies. Again, Matthew is drawing our attention to this, and he's drawing the original audience, which would be Jewish people, to this. As a result of this miracle, healing the man that was demon-possessed, the Pharisees accuse Jesus of working with Satan. They accuse Jesus of working with Satan. Verses 24 through 28. If I can get another volunteer that would like to read. Verses 24 through 28. Who would like to read that portion for us? Okay, right there. Margie, go ahead. Awesome. Thank you, ma'am. Here we see another phrase common to Matthew, the kingdom of God. Other gospel writers will say the kingdom of heaven. These are interchangeable terms. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Some scholars and some commentaries make a big difference about these two things and try to imply there's differences there. Basically, it's the same idea, that Jesus Christ has come to display the kingdom, to show that there's entrance into the kingdom of God through himself. And he's using this idea of kingdom, both the vision, known as a famous saying by Abraham Lincoln from his speech in 1858, by many today, Jesus was the true origin of the saying, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And that's what Jesus is saying here. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Side note, that's still true of a country today, right? If our country can't figure out how to come together, we keep going down this road of division, it will not end well. Right? We need to find a way to come together. Now, we know that even in Christ, we come together as one, even with different personalities and different ideas, and things, but we're common in Christ. And so here, Jesus is rebuking this idea that he works with or in league with Satan. The Pharisees believe that Jesus is only able to cast out the demons because he is in alignment with Satan. Basically, it's all a show. This isn't real. He's not really casting out a demon. It's all fake. It's all pretend. It's all for the purpose of glorifying the devil. It's all a show. And yet Jesus points out the obvious, that if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself and his purposes. So he's kind of pointing out the silly nature of their accusation. Now, it's a pretty serious thing to accuse Jesus of working for Satan or to be in agreement with Satan. And we're going to see here that this is revealing the heart of the Pharisees, the hardness of heart that we talked about at the beginning. It's also interesting to note verse 25. How does verse 25 start? And Jesus knew their thoughts. That is both extremely comforting and extremely terrifying, because he knows your thoughts. Now, that doesn't mean just because you think something, you should say something, because there is great wisdom in thinking it and not saying it. Just read the book of Proverbs, right? Only a foolish man will say what he thinks all the time. And if you're somebody's like, well, I just, you know, tell you what I think, that's not wise. That just means you have no tact. Like, you just say what you think, that's probably not a good idea, because you're going to hurt a lot of people's feelings. And I'm not saying we don't speak truth, but we speak truth in what?
Love.
It's grace and truth coming together. We speak truth, but we need to be careful that we're doing it in the right way. And so here he says he knew their thoughts. We've seen this all through Matthew so far. Many times it says that he knew their thoughts or the intents of their heart. How does he know their thoughts? Because he is God. He never ceased to be God while on planet Earth. He is the God-man, and only God knows your thoughts. Here's a great comfort, I hope. Satan does not know your thoughts. Because Satan is not omniscient. Omniscience just means all-knowing. Now, Satan can know what you're most likely thinking and most likely going to do. Why? Because he's got thousands of years of human experience that he's been observing. And so he might have a predictability of what you might be wanting to do. And it says in a symbolic way that Peter, Jesus said, he desires to sift you, right? To tempt you and to lure you. But the problem with the thought life of us, even before Christ and after, is that we have the flesh. And our flesh will drive us to desire the things that will please Satan's desires. And so Satan kind of creates the external temptation, and our flesh creates the internal temptation, and together it will lead us astray. But in Christ, we have a new heart, right? A new ability to think and feel. We have the Spirit of God, and we can decide to repent and reject those temptations and follow after Christ. That's that battle in Romans 7 that Paul talks about. Yeah. What's that? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Romans 6, right? We're raised to walk in the newness of life, right? Absolutely. And so we see this tension, right? They're accusing him of working for Satan. He knows their thoughts because he's God, proving that he's not in league with Satan because he's God and omniscient. And he challenges this. Then we see an interesting parable. So we see a parable here in verses 29 and 30 that Jesus speaks. A parable is just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's just an earthly story that we can all kind of understand, that his audience can understand, and then there's a spiritual application for us. 29 through 30. Terry? Awesome. Thank you.
For how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters.
Awesome. Thank you. So this is an interesting story. It's a parable. So he's just telling a story, okay? And in this story, this parable, it talks about a strong man and one that is bound and taken captive and driven out. This parable is used to speak to the greatness of Christ's power to set free those under the power of Satan, as he just accomplished. So in the text, he just set free somebody that was demon-possessed. He drove out the demon that was controlling this person. And in this parable, when it talks about here, enter in a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. The strong man is Satan. And Jesus, being stronger, is able to bind him and drive him out, to remove him from the home. The pulpit commentary says it this way. This is more than merely the conclusion, meaning of what just took place. It's an emphatic statement that he will do this. Yet, yes, utterly plunder the whole house. And in the Greek, it literally means to completely plunder. Means to take control, right? To take all possession. The interpretation of this parable is self-evident. The strong man is Satan. His vessels are those afflicted by him. The one who binds, etc., is Christ. For Christ's appearance and work, even before the crucifixion and resurrection, bound Satan in this respect. And I love that he was binding Satan before the cross. I jotted in my notes here, he was winning before he won. Right? Before the cross, he was winning. Because he's always been stronger. So he tells this parable, and he declares that he is strong. And then we see the results from the Pharisees. And the response of Christ to the Pharisees, I should say, in their hardness of heart. Verses 31 through 37. One more volunteer. I almost said one more volunteer a minute ago, but I realized I would be lying. So 31 through 37, Kelsey.
Hmm.
Awesome. Thank you. So there's so much in here. So we're right up against the time I wanted to end. So I'm gonna move through this. I'm not gonna like jump through fast, but I want to move through this. Here's what we have, number four in your notes, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for their blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. This is also known as the unforgivable or unpardonable sin. The key that Jesus was pointing out is that they were evil and hard-hearted, and while they could reject Jesus because he appeared as a man and did not display his full glory on earth, however, the Holy Spirit working in their heart and through this miracle, they rejected him. Then he talks about good and bad trees and good and bad fruits. Again, this is not works salvation. He is pointing out that a good tree in Christ responding to the Holy Spirit will produce good fruits, while a bad tree, evil and sinful at heart, will produce bad fruits. The Pharisees rejected the miracle of Christ because they rejected Christ and the Spirit's leading in their minds and hearts. We see that in verse 25. So a question we ask is, can this sin be committed today? And the answer is no, it cannot. It cannot. And this is in your notes, that answer there. No, it cannot. The vast amount of Bible scholars and theologians would say this specific sin in this context cannot be committed today. The reason being is because Christ performed a literal miracle in the flesh, which was then attributed by the religious leaders to Satan and not the Holy Spirit. Because Christ is not literally in flesh today to perform a miracle that we can then attribute to Satan, this exact situation cannot be duplicated right now on earth. And so therefore, this specific sin in its context cannot be committed today. However, there is an unpardonable sin for humanity, which is the ultimate rejection of the Spirit's conviction in Christ. I believe the Spirit of God is working in us today. He works, he draws, he leads, and convicts. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said he will convict the world of sin and righteousness. If somebody rejects the Holy Spirit's conviction, denies the truth that Christ is Lord, the need of forgiveness of sins, and they die in that state, they are unpardonable because they have died in their sin. And the Bible says when we die, when we leave this world, we stand before Christ, we either in Christ or we're cast aside as outside of Christ. That decision is made this side of eternity, not that side of eternity. I love what Charles Ryrie says in his Basic Theology book. He says this: to commit this particular sin required the personal and visible presence of Christ on earth. To commit it today, therefore, would be impossible. But to show wickedness of heart is unpardonable in any day if one dies persisting in his or her rejection of Christ. And so can the unpardonable sin, as we just read it, be committed today? No. However, if I die in rejection of Christ, that in of itself is unpardonable. Last point in your notes there before we take a break. Jesus calls the Pharisees he just rebuked to side with him, show repentance, and speak words that demonstrate a righteous heart. I want you to catch that. Now, again, we're going to dive into this more, a little bit more next week when we have a little more time. But I want you to see these verses that I believe are in your notes. Verse 30, 33 through 35, 36 and 37. Jesus says, you've just committed this sin. This is unpardonable. Your hardness of heart, bad trees produce bad fruit. But throughout the whole dialogue, he's calling them to repentance. He's calling them to speak words of repentance, words of righteousness. He's calling them to side with him. And if they continue to persist in rejecting that, that's on them. But he calls them to repentance, even as he's rebuking them for what they just said. And I love that aspect of this text because it shows the continuous grace of God, that he's always calling to repentance. If there's breath in our lungs, we have an opportunity to repent. And I love that Jesus models that for us. So we're going to stop here at letter D because we got a few more things to get through the notes and we are over time. And so I encourage you, study through this on your own. Look into these passages for yourself. Make your own notes. If you have questions, reach out to me. I'd love to dialogue with you about that. But don't just take what I'm saying. Get into the word for yourself. Study it, know it, and become a student of God's word, and you will see the great blessings from that. So let's pray. We're going to pray, and then I'll give you guys just about 5 minutes to use the restroom, all those kind of things. children usually just kind of play in the gym. So some of our teens will kind of be in there as well, and they just kind of have an eye on them as well and stuff. But kids kind of just play in the gym during the business meeting if you feel comfortable doing that. If you are not comfortable with that, they're welcome to stay with you through the business meeting. That is up to you. It's totally your call, all right? But there's no, like, official child care in the fellowship hall. Because I know I'm like, well, my kid in charge. He ain't in charge of that. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you, Lord, for demonstrating your great power, your great love, your great compassion. And Lord, I'm so thankful that, Lord, that if we have breath in our lungs, you give us opportunity to repent. I'm so thankful, Holy Spirit, that you work and you draw to repentance and you convict of sin. And Lord, you don't just do that before we're a Christian. As a Christian, as we walk with Christ and we're growing in Christ, when we stumble in sin, Holy Spirit, you make us aware of that. You draw us to repentance. You bring correction when needed. And Lord, in my life, there's been some times of needed correction. And so thankful that we have a good and loving Heavenly Father who does what we need to draw us and keep us close. And so, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this portion of Scripture. Thank you for being a God that is omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful. And thank you that when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, bound under the strong man, we were rescued by a stronger man. We were set free. As Pastor Greg said this morning, we were set free from the tomb, loosed from the grave clothes, and allowed to go free. So thank you for what you're doing, how you continue to lead, guide, and direct. Help us to be in your word this week. Help us to be in prayer this week and to see you do greater things than we've ever seen. For your glory above all else, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll give you guys about, like I said, about 5 minutes. If you need to use the restroom and all those kind of things, then we'll come back in just about 5 minutes for our business meeting.